gentlemen. I'm Joe Dighton.
I'm Mike Grant.
And you're listening to the GD Podcast, an informal but insightful conversation about sports, pop culture, beer, and the like. Follow us on Twitter at the GD Podcast or shoot us an email at thegdpodcast@gmail.com. Today, Mike and I are going to give our final thoughts on the Olympic hockey tournament, check in on the NHL now that it's back, to preview the Oscars and talk a little True Detective in the pop culture corner. And then finally, Mike will bring us home in Mike's beer blast. Mike, how you doing, man?
Been a little better. Been under the weather for a little bit here, but looks like we might have a little snow day tomorrow. So I'm kind of excited to just hunker up and watch the Oscars and see what happens.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy to think we've been. I think the last few winters we've been spoiled as far as like big snows, but then we got like a couple weeks ago, and then we had that one, and then. It's like, yeah, 6 to 10 inches overnight. So
it's brutal. Yeah. And it looking like snow at the end of the week too.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, as much I want to complain about, I guess we were due.
Yeah, exactly. We had a couple really mild years. I think it's, you know, a couple years ago, it snowed maybe 2 inches at most.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I remember a couple days, you know, it's like 70 degrees and sunny. So it was wild, but, we had a really good sporting day today, but. Of course, all my teams and the things I've been rooting for fell to crap.
Yeah, because I had the Caps Flyers game on. I think they were up. Caps were up 2-1 when I left, and then I was in line at the supermarket and I saw that they someone said something that they lost in OT. I was like, oh wow, just you know. Yeah,
they were up 4-2 at one point, and there was only 7-8 minutes left in the game, and Orlov decided to leap off the ice and. Board somebody for a 5-minute major, and that was the beginning of the end.
Those are killer. Those ones are killer because you know the team can stand a power play no matter how many goals they score. Yeah. So
yeah, you want to lead is the worst lead in hockey, right?
I think so. 2 or 3, yeah, something like that. But yeah, 2 or 3
goal lead, not good.
And then it's tough enough to hold a 2-goal lead. The Flyers have been playing better of late, and then you throw in the fact you're gonna be shorthanded for 5 minutes. That's not good for anybody.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll right the ship there. They've been playing better of late. On the hockey front, you know, it's funny, we were pumped up for the Olympics with the hockey team and stuff, and isn't it crazy that after all that they didn't even medal?
I know, I'm so bitter. You know, we were talking about looking at the rosters and you know the Canadian, Russian, and USA teams and the Swedish team. And even Finland, it was just like all-star hockey teams. It was amazing to look at those guys' rosters and then think that how good the USA team was, how handily they were winning in the beginning in their exhibition games, how they looked like they were playing as a team and they were really clicking. And then they come out, you know, in their big match against Canada. And, they, you know, they fought hard. I thought it was a really good game. It just, you know, the puck didn't fall their way.
Yeah.
And Canada was playing a really good defensive style hockey, and they just shut them down, unfortunately. But they had such a great team. And then, you know, not knowing what my team, the Caps, are ever going to do, it would have been really nice to watch the USA get gold. I mean, that would have made my hockey year.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was tough. It was concerning only because – In their prelim games that you were kind of concerned they didn't really play anyone because even Russia, it turned out, wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So once their first – I mean, they got Canada, in this – and I was like, uh-oh, how are they going to fare against, you know, this true, real competition?
Absolutely.
The Russia game was a good test. But then, once they got Canada, it was a different animal. I think you're right. I thought the U.S. played hard, but they just didn't – they couldn't generate any offense in that game.
No, they couldn't. Or, you know, I mean, Canada is just – that good, you know, they got so many star talent players on there. And I mean, even, you know, that's why I always love Crosby. Crosby didn't score a ton of goals, but, you know, he was a huge help. He helped manage the game, and he's just such a great player.
Yeah, because I didn't realize until I watched the gold medal game. He didn't score, his first goal of the tournament was the gold medal game.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, he's that type of player that he doesn't need to score goals. It's just as long as he's on the ice. He's going to make that team better.
Yeah, because defenders have to, even if he's not scoring, teams have to keep an eye on him, which opens up the ice for other players. So he's just a threat no matter what.
Absolutely.
So that was a bummer. And I got to be honest, I wasn't surprised that the U.S. got blown out in the bronze medal game just because I thought once they lost to Canada, I think they were just mentally checked out.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple buddies that were really disappointed because they thought they'd win it. But, you know, then now that you mention it, you know, that's not too surprising, too, because that was just such a huge letdown. And then I think back to your point, too, you know, their exhibition matches were all kind of cupcake teams once you looked at it. And, yeah, they blew them out by a large amount, but they weren't playing the Canadas and the Finlands and Swedens of the world, you know, so.
Yeah. So that's why I was not, you know, a little bit concerned about Canada. And then, like I said, the Bruins, they lost that game, you know, because I was talking to someone at the gym that morning before the bronze medal game, and he was like, I'm going to just tune in to see if they didn't get on the plane already to leave, because they probably have no desire to play in that game. And
yeah,
it looked like they didn't have any desire, because I think for them, I mean, I think it was gold or bust after they lost in the gold medal game 4 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that didn't surprise me. Speaking of that, because, I mean, they didn't show up for that game. Do you think you'd be more interested, less interested, or if they went back to using, you know, amateurs and college kids rather than send NHL guys in the Olympics?
You know, I think it would be – I would be interested, and it would be pretty cool to see, you know, whether it is young up-and-coming players or, you know, people that are almost good enough to be in the NHL, and maybe you would see them in a couple years in the NHL.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can't deny watching a team filled with that much star power like Canada, Russia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a ton of fun. And, you know, I'm all for it now. But, you know, if Ovi broke his leg and was out for the year, I'd be pretty pissed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, right. Because it's funny. I've been listening to people argue both sides for the last week or week and a half or so. Yeah. And I think it's one of those things where it's all fun and games until one of your star players gets hurt.
Absolutely.
And the Islanders were obviously pissed about Tavares being hurt for the year, you know?
Yeah, you know, but it comes up, you know, every 4 years.
And yes.
And, you know, even if Ovi did get hurt, that would really suck. I still like watching, you know, all the star powers and all the world teams come together in that hockey tournament. So I'd like to keep it the way it is.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just great to watch. For one thing, yeah, just all the best players. I remember I was listening to, I think it was Colin Cowherd had Barry Melrose on, and he was just asking, why is, you know, this tournament, why is the hockey just so good? And Melrose made the point, it's the best, you know, players in the world, you know, 20 players on each team. And like he said, the NHL, if the NHL just had 10 teams with the 20 best players, it'd be just as good.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But obviously, for financial reasons, you can't just have 10 teams. But
yeah, exactly.
So that's why it was fun to watch. I'm with you that the fact that it's every 4 years, it's not that big of a deal. I know that the owners hate it because they're shutting down their league for 3 weeks. They hate it from that point. But
yep.
I think they know they have no – like I know Ovechkin is like, I'm going to go. You can find me. I'm going. So
exactly. And, you can't ever – I mean – I just don't think it would fly with any of the players that the NHL said, no, you can't go play for your team.
Yeah.
To get a gold medal.
Yeah. The only way they're going to not, the only way that's going to stop is if the Olympic committee decides that they're not going to use pros anymore. As long as pros are eligible, NHL guys are going to want to play. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Speaking of the Olympic committee, I know there was people were saying maybe they should put the NHL or the hockey in the Summer Olympics because that way they don't have to shut down the season. To me, I don't know. I mean, I get it, but to me, hockey is such a winter sport. I couldn't imagine it being in the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, you can't do that. You got to put it in the Winter Olympics. And, you know, because they've always been part of the Winter Olympics. They got tons of history. So it would just be so odd watching an ice sport at Summer Olympics.
I agree. I know the committee already said no way to that anyway. And yeah. Plus, I feel like as far as like the major big sport, I feel like that's like, you know, basketball's time to shine.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to see hockey lose that attention, you know, competing with hoops. So I'm fine with it. And like I said, if it was every year, I could see the owners being ticked off about, you know, losing their sport for 3 weeks. But since it's every 4 years, you know, what's the big deal?
Yeah, you know, you think Summer Olympics, you think swimming, gymnastics, track and field, and not ice hockey.
Exactly. So I'm kind of fine the way it is. And but it was funny, though, because it just happened. I was doing some stuff yesterday, and Miracle was on.
Oh, yeah.
And I caught it just as they're about to start their, you know, the big game against, you know, the Soviet Union. And it made me think. It was kind of cool seeing just, like, those plucky kids from college do that. But I think I do enjoy the fact that, you know, we're getting the best competition in the world.
Yeah.
Going head to head, but at the end of the day, it was just a bummer to see the U.S. not even get any kind of medal. But we'll see what happens in 4 years. I think a lot of the U.S. guys are young enough that hopefully that most of that team will be back.
Yeah, I think we will.
I just think maybe in that next 4 years, maybe they can bring up. Hopefully, maybe they'll develop some more skill guys. Because I think, like, you know, it's for me, whenever Patrick Kane touches a puck, it's like, ooh, you know.
Yep.
They need a few more guys like that who can just, you know, they just didn't have enough. They good players, but just not, you know, those skill guys that make the difference. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens. And then on the other rest of the hockey front, we you know got back into the swing of things with NHL this week. And, you know, I didn't realize the Caps up until today were on a 4-game winning streak, so you got to like the way they've been playing as of late.
Yeah, no, so they kind of sucked going in there to the Olympic break. But, you know, they came out, played the Panthers, was up 2 goals, ended up squeaking that one out. Then just beat the Bruins. That's a solid win. And, had Philly on the ropes, but then committed some bad penalties and ended up losing in overtime. But, you know, at least still got a point.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're only now, I guess, with a point, 2 points out from Philly with that game, and then a point or two away from you guys.
Yep.
And then a point out of one of the wild card spots. So I think, you know, they're just the Caps of every year. They're going to make it tough on themselves till the bitter end. It'll come down to the last week. They'll have a chance. Whether or not they make it, we'll see. But they just need to execute, you know?
Yep.
They've got the talent. They need to play as a team, get pucks in the net, and, you know, I think maybe a little more depth in the skill position, and then just some more veteran defensive backside. So, you know, the trade deadline coming up, I mean, I think that's what they should look for. I know Steve Ott was like the big catch out there, but I think somebody signed him recently, didn't they?
I thought I saw his name.
Yeah, so it would have been really cool to get a guy like Ott, but most of those guys, I'm sure, are going to go pretty quick. So it'll be interesting to see what the Cats can kind of scrounge up there before the trade deadline. I'd be surprised if they didn't make any moves.
Yeah.
I think they need some help, you know, just some depth at the skill position. And then, you know, some of those veteran guys that can play defense and have some of that postseason experience. So if they do get there, hopefully can take them to a Stanley Cup and have them raise it at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm looking at Steve Ott went to St. Louis with Brian Miller.
That's what I thought. That's a huge trade.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Ryan Miller, you know, he's obviously still got some gas in the tank. He was just playing on a bad team this year.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just on a horrible team. But yeah, that's a gigantic trade.
Yeah. That was a good move. It was just odd to see. You know, he's been a staple of that franchise forever, and just to see him to go. But, you know, sometimes I think it's just one of those things where the Sabres probably are a different direction, and then why not give this guy a chance to play on a team that's got a chance at winning again?
Yeah, so what about your boys? How are you feeling about them?
Pretty good. They've been playing much, much better of late. They lost a tough game to Philly yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, it was 4-2. I was, you know, but like it's funny to think when a team's going good, when they lose, everyone kind of is like, ah, you know, what's going on? But you got to realize that no one's going to win all their games the rest of the season out. So, yeah, I'm happy with the way that they've been playing as of late. The big thing for them this year, I just feel like I love the way they play on the power play now. I just feel like it's much smoother, much more cohesive, and they're actually capitalizing on it at a time. So I'm happy with that. The big thing with the Rangers right now is what's going to happen with Ryan Callahan.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with that?
Yeah, because they, you know, I think they're just trying to, because he's a free agent after this year, so the Rangers would like to sign him. But I think Callahan wants a little bit more than they're willing to pay. It's just, you know, you know how tough it is now. Now it's a salary cap sport.
Yep.
You can't just pay these guys whatever. So, but at the same time, they're not going to take a chance of watching him walk away and get nothing. So I guess to them, it's if they can't figure out a deal before Wednesday, they're going to have to trade him. And then, you know, the one thing that's been going around is him for St. Louis straight up is one thing that's been talked about.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that would be really interesting.
It wouldn't look bad in a Caps jersey, though, either.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just kind of weird to think that a team's captain in his prime is, you know, a trade candidate. It just seems really weird.
Yeah, but like you said, that's the trade that Cap can do to you.
Exactly. Friday they were able to lock up Dan Girardi for the next 6 years. I was happy about that.
Yeah.
If I had to choose between the two, I'd rather take a top six defenseman type guy like that.
Yeah, he's a solid player.
Yeah, as much I love Callahan and he hustles and he, you know, I just feel like it's easier to replace a forward at times than a really good defenseman.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see what happens. So I guess they got to figure it out by Wednesday. So. It's always fun to kind of keep an eye on what teams are doing and what they can do to improve. But, I mean, I hope they can, I love watching Callahan play. So I hope they can figure something out, but I'm not going to be, you know, killing the Rangers if they do have to trade him. Cause I know from a business standpoint, you know, they got numbers they got to figure out. And if they don't think he's worth the money Callahan's asking for, you got to move on in a sense.
Yeah.
So it's like I say, it's funny. We always, people joke, but it's true. I mean, at the end of the day, sports, you know, it's supposed to be fun, but it is a business, for especially for the teams.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but yeah, so right now, you know, the Rangers, it's just such a tight race, and, you know, our division, I mean, like I said, the Penguins are, you know, 14 points above everyone else at the least, and then you got, you know, Philly, Rangers, Caps, you know, and then Columbus and Jersey are just right there too. So it's just, besides the Islanders, everyone's pretty close with one another.
Yeah, it's gonna be a race to the finish.
Yeah,
and I always like that because it makes for an interesting end of the season.
I agree, and it's funny to think, I'm looking at the standings, just the games played. It's weird to think because of the Olympics, they had to kind of really front load the season or schedule, so every team's got about like 20 games left. It's just, I feel like there should be more games left than that.
I know, I totally agree.
So it's yeah, it's been a lot of fun, but yeah, this has been a good season. I wasn't sure what to expect with the blue shirts, just because with the new coach and everything, who's much different than Tortorella, but yep. It's been good. So, yeah, we'll see. It's a shame that the Rangers and Caps have played all their games against one another already. It's weird.
I know. I swear, it seems like the season just started.
I know. I know. It really does. So you mentioned, as far as the upcoming trade deadline, so you're looking to see the Caps kind of add like maybe a veteran blue liner.
Yeah, that's what I would like to see them do. And, you know, if they can get another skill player too, that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, yeah, I think that would be good for them. I think since they're so predicated on skill, you know, if they can add another guy to either take some attention away from Ovechkin and Backstrom, I think that would, you know, really behoove them. But I think you made a good point too, is that just the defense, because, like you said, it blew a 2-goal lead at home today. You know,
yeah, no, you can't do that. Yeah. You know, part of that is just taking bad penalties.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it was the defense that committed the penalty. So
yeah,
yeah, they it's pretty frustrating, and it'll hopefully they can make a little change to get them a big push to the end, and hopefully get into the playoffs, because there's nothing better than watching your team in playoff hockey. It's one of the great times of the year.
it really is. And on the flip side, there's nothing more depressing than watching playoff games knowing your team's not in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it sucks so much.
It does. If it sucks for us, imagine how it feels for the players.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on what's going on Wednesday with the trade deadline. And especially to see if Ryan Callahan is a Ranger or not. That's going to be the big
That will be very interesting.
Yeah. Because I never thought that he'd play anywhere else, at least not as far as, you know, if he left at the end of the season, I could see that happening, but I never thought this guy's going to get traded one day. I just never would have seen that coming.
Yeah.
So that's good stuff with the hockey. And then, like you mentioned tonight, we got the Oscars coming up this evening. Man. So that's going to be
the big event for you, right?
Yeah, I do enjoy it. It's tough though. It's a tough watch at times. Because I wish they would just cut all the technical awards out of it completely. Like the costume design awards and stuff like that. I wish it was just a separate show. If it were me, it would be picture, director, actor, actress, supporting, best screenplay, even, you know, throw in best song, maybe have all the best song nominees perform.
Yeah.
And that's it. I would just wish it was just all the major awards. Because I think it's like a three-hour broadcast.
Yeah, 2 hour max. It'd be nice if it was about an hour, hour and a half.
Exactly. Yeah, just keep the speeches short. Just do major awards. Maybe, you know, the song number in the front, and then all the original song nominees get to perform their song for everybody, and then that's it. And it'd be, you know, it's just so long, and all those.
No, I've never thought of it that way, and that's a good point.
Yeah, that's what takes so long, is that all those, like, minor awards that no one really cares about just make it drag out forever, so.
Luckily, it looks like we might have a snow day, so it doesn't matter if we stay up late tonight.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the show. I think Ellen's hosting the past. She was good, so I'm looking forward to, seeing her. I think that'll be fun, watching her perform.
Yeah, I always think she's been great. Yeah. So, you know, it always sucks, too, when you have an awkward, bad host.
It is. Like, I know the year Hathaway and Franco co-hosted, it was kind of awkward at times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Seth MacFarlane was all right. You know, I didn't mind him as much as other people did, but
yeah, I think you did a horrible job.
I didn't think so either, but yeah, I think Ellen, she's good, and she's obviously got the stand-up background, so I think she'll be good. I've seen all the Best Picture nominees. Besides, the only one I didn't see was Philomena.
Yeah.
So I was down to that and Gravity yesterday, and I said I didn't know if I had enough time to watch both, and I thought Gravity had a better chance of winning, so I figured I'd go with that one instead.
Yeah, okay.
So I watched that last night. I thought it was okay. I didn't know if it was Oscar nominee worthy, but
So I think the reason why they put that in there, Best Pictures, it's just because from the technical standpoint.
Yes, I agree. Yep.
Pulling off such a feat like they did.
Yes.
That's the only, and you know, that I think is the big debate this Oscar is. You know, you got a movie like Gravity or an Avatar in the past where, you know, the story's not that great, but it's a visual marvel.
Yes.
And, you know, how do you compare and what is better? You know, in my opinion, storytelling and writing has what way heavier weight to me than making something look pretty.
I agree. It's a whole style over substance argument. Yep.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, when you break it down like that, I've heard, and, you know, I haven't. Kim just watched Dallas Buyers Club last night. She said that was really good.
That was, yeah.
You know, 12 Years a Slave, pretty good, apparently, hard-hitting. But I've heard the most positive reviews about Her, so I wouldn't be surprised if Her made kind of a sneaky appearance as the Best Picture nominee.
I do like that for an upset pick. I liked Her. I did like that, and that's not, you know, been, you know, as talked about as much, but that was a good movie, and incredibly.
I mean, literally everyone I've talked to that have seen it, they're like, you know, you read the concept and you're like, what? How is this even going to be good?
Yeah.
Everyone says it's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, and yeah, what's great about a movie like that is, I mean, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, I mean, he had to carry most of it himself, which is, you know, yeah. Same with kind of like Sandra Bullock almost in Gravity was the same way. You know, I'm always impressed when, that's why I thought, you know, Sandra Bullock was pretty good, but just, you know, I could see her getting nominated just because when you have to carry a movie, you're almost by yourself like that.
Yeah.
It's warranted. So, yeah, if her won, I would not be that upset.
Does it surprise you, like you said, that Joaquin Phoenix was such a critical, vital part to that movie that he wasn't nominated for Best Actor in Leading Role?
It does a little bit, but I would say I try not to bellyache too much about the actor and actress category because I kind of compare it to like an all-star team when people say, oh, he got snubbed, because it's like, well, who are you going to take off?
Yeah,
that's exactly. The only thing. It's almost like they expanded the Best Picture category to up to 10 movies. Maybe they should consider doing the same thing for the acting categories, too.
Yeah, maybe they could.
Because like, I'm looking at all the nominees for Best Actor now, and all of them were just, you know, Bale was great, Bruce Dern was good in Nebraska, DiCaprio was good in Wolf of Wall Street, Chiwetel Ejiofor from 12 Years a Slave was really good, and McConaughey, who I think is going to win, was great in Dallas Buyers Club. So it would be tough to pull one of those guys off in, you know, for Joaquin Phoenix.
Gotcha.
That's the only thing that's tough. So I think he deserves a nomination, but I'd hate to be the one who decided who would get knocked out of the list.
Yeah.
And also in that category, I would have liked to have seen Tom Hanks get nominated for Captain Phillips rather than, because the picture got nominated. I thought he was better than the movie. I thought that he should have gotten nominated as opposed to the picture.
Yeah, I love me some Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he's so good. So I felt bad he didn't get nominated because I thought the movie was pretty good, but I thought he did a really great job. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was definitely worthy of a nomination for that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I'm going with McConaughey though for that one. Especially I guess because I'm watching True Detective, which we'll talk about next. Watching him in that, and then just watching him in Dallas Buyers Club, just how much weight he lost to start. I mean, it was just like holy cow,
It's crazy what they do to their bodies.
Yes. So, but yeah, he was great in that. So I like his chances to win that. And then Best Actress, I'd be more so guessing, because I've only seen two of the nominees' movies. I saw Amy Adams, obviously, who was good in American Hustle, and I just saw Sandra Bullock in Gravity. But the other three movies, I saw, Kate Blanchett. I didn't see Blue Jasmine or Philomena or August Osage County for Meryl Streep. I almost feel like Meryl Streep just wins by default, to be honest.
Exactly.
I just feel like if she's nominated, there's a good chance she's going to win. So
yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, I'm not a huge movie buff. I'll watch it, and if it's boring, I'll probably just tune it out and not watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the red carpet stuff's always interesting, and if they made it more entertaining, I will probably watch.
Yeah.
Every year, and be pretty excited about it.
I agree 100% with that. For the director category, I feel like the Gravity director's got to win it, right? I feel like he's...
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I just because, like you said, I feel like... it's weird, because like, Best Picture, I'm like, but I feel like for the visuals and stuff, I feel like he's got a good chance for, just for that kind of direction.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely probably going to win the Best Visual Effects category, but... No doubt, hands down.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I saw that and I thought the same thing. It really wasn't a fantastic story, but it looked pretty incredible.
Yeah, so I think he could, because I remember a couple years ago, did you see Life of Pi?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't see it at the time and when the Oscars came out, but I forget who I predicted for Best Director, but then when I think Ang Lee won for that, for Life of Pi, and I was like, that makes sense. We just even like looking at the previews. Sometimes you can just tell when a movie looks, good. Just looks good like that. You got to think, oh, this guy's gonna win Best Director. So that's why I could see the Gravity director, Alfonso Cuarón. I could see him, winning for that. Even though other directors were, really good in this category. I think he had American Hustle director Russell, Nebraska, 12 Years a Slave, and Scorsese, Wolf of Wall Street are all good directors too. But I just feel like when you have a really visually captivating movie like Gravity, it gives that director a leg up on everyone else.
Agreed.
Yeah. And the other one I wanted to comment on was just supporting actress. I've heard people talk about this too, is I think the actress Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave should win. I know some people are concerned that Jennifer Lawrence might win again, even though she wasn't really great in American Hustle. So that's going to be an interesting category, because I think sometimes the voters fall in love with an actress, so Jennifer Lawrence is kind of like Hollywood sweetheart, so I could see her pulling off an upset, even though I don't think she should win this time around.
Yeah, but I feel like in recent memory, there's been some kind of no name actors and actresses that have won.
Yes,
for I think The Help, and then the real big girl, I forget her name. She was an American Horror Story.
Oh, Gabrielle Sidibe, yeah.
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 So,
yeah. You never know. Yeah, so, yeah. I saw both of them. So I think, the girl, Lupita Nyong'o, that's who I'm picking for Best Supporting Actress. But I wouldn't be shocked if I hear Jennifer Lawrence's name called. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just such at the height of her career right now. But I think it'd be kind of unfair just to pick her. Because of name and popularity.
Exactly, yeah. She's definitely... it's funny, I was talking to my girlfriend about this because I was joking about how certain actors, when they get to, I call it burn the tapes fame, like when they've, because this was on the Today Show yesterday, was doing like before the, before they were famous, like where they started, like they showed DiCaprio and Growing Pains and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, DiCaprio, he's probably like, burn those tapes, you know? Yeah. And I mentioned Jennifer Lawrence because she got her start on this comedian Bill Engvall, his show on TBS. She was like the daughter on that show. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, she's getting to the point where she's kind of like, you know, burn the tapes.
Yeah.
My girlfriend was like, oh, well, she's too young. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, this is her third Oscar nomination. You know, she's an A-list Hollywood actress now.
Blockbuster Hunger Games trilogy, so.
Yeah, so I think she's definitely.
You know you're good when you can be in kind of, you know, your typical blockbuster movie plus get non-Academy nods, too.
Absolutely. Because a lot of times actors are one or the other. Either, like I had a professor in college who said, he said there's movie stars, like Arnold, and there's actors, like Marlon Brando. So when you can when you can cross over into both, you're really good.
Yep.
You're really good. So, I'm not knocking her. I just don't think that I just feel like there's a better nominee this year going against her. And
agreed.
And my last pick I want to do is just I liked Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club. He was fantastic. So I'm gonna pick him for best supporting actor. So So it should be fun. It should be a good show. I wish it started half an hour earlier, but what are you gonna do?
When does it start?
I think it's 8:30. So I guess I always want to consider. Yes, I say I want to consider the West Coast audience. But then I thought about I guess it's kind of like if I was staying up for Sunday Night Football, 8:30 to 11:30. So
yeah,
so I can't complain too much. And then we mentioned McConaughey, so I guess that should lead us into True Detective, which we both enjoyed this season so far. It's
phenomenal.
It's just been a really, really good show, and. It's almost like, man, it's only 8 episodes. I wish there were more because it's just been so good.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty pumped up. I'm just, like, waiting for tonight. I'm making Dave watch it because I think it's the best show on TV right now. And I was really worried once Breaking Bad stopped because it was so good.
Yeah.
I was hoping I'd have something real good to watch still, and this show came about, and after the first episode, I thought it looked interesting, but about, 3-4 episodes in, it really hooked you.
Yes, I agree, and I know you've mentioned that part of what's great about the show is that, the mystery and, the crime they're trying to solve is good, but the Harrelson and McConaughey's character and their performances is what really, really sucks you in.
Yeah, the character development, and the way they're building these characters and the stories behind them, just anticipating to see how much of a whack job McConaughey is.
Oh, yeah.
And just how bad of a person Woody can be and how he copes with it is just fascinating to me. I think that's more interesting than the actual crime itself.
Yeah. If you were a betting man, would you – I know they're suspecting, Rust in this whole thing, but if you were a betting man, do you think he's has any involvement or do you think those detectives are just kind of fishing a little bit?
I think they're fishing. I just say it's too easy of a way out,
Yeah, I agree.
That's what they want you to suspect. And I don't know, maybe they'll totally blow our minds and say, yep, he's just a nut job.
Yeah.
As opposed to, not many shows do that either. So they could just completely do a 180 on us.
Exactly. And then last week, I mean, I don't think it was any shock that Russ, slept with, Marty's wife. I felt like that was coming at some point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I saw that coming, no doubt. But the scene that still sticks in my mind in my favorite episode, is when they raided the projects.
Yes.
And that was just an unbelievable scene. It was so intense. And I remember, the episode ending and just catching my breath and going, wow, that was awesome.
That was really cool. I agree. That was an awesome scene. Just the intensity, just watching, McConaughey just kind of bounce, from building to building. And I remember reading afterwards, I think they did it in one take, which is just unheard of, it was just, it was a brilliant sequence, really, and really good episode. This has been good. Speaking of, Woody's wife, Michelle Monaghan, she's, good actress, but I recently read a criticism about how the women, none of the women on the show are really well-developed. They're all kind of paper-thin characters. And even, I guess, the two detectives, you know, that are interviewing, you know, Woody Harrelson and McConaughey are kind of the same way. But there's been criticism, especially more so about the women, which I would agree with, but I'm almost willing to let it slide that the rest of the characters aren't that well-developed, because I feel in 8 episodes, you want to get the most out of your biggest stars as possible.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, you know, that's the focal point of the show, too. It's like, you can't, it's pretty impossible to develop every character fully, and they're the main parts of the show, and so, you know, I think they've done a great job developing them, and that's what I expect. I can't knock them too much for not fully fleshing out, you know, every person these main characters are related to.
Yeah, because I thought, I was saying to my girlfriend, I said, if these guys were going to be on the show for like 6-7 years, then yes, I would say yes, you need to develop the women better and all the other characters. But the fact that, to me, this is like a sprint this season, you know?
Yeah. Tonight is the second to last episode.
Yes, yep.
And there's only one more after.
Correct, yep. So, to me, when you're doing, like I said, when you're doing like a short series like this, I want, you know, the two biggest stars to get as much screen time, and to be written as richly as these. I mean, they obviously wrote these two both very, they're both very rich characters, and it kind of stinks that the rest of them didn't get as much, you know, thought put into them. But I just think that for a one shot show like this, I'm okay with it, because I'm the first to criticize a show for having thin characters, but I just want to let it slide just because how well of a job they did with the two main characters.
Totally agree.
Yeah, so I'm not as concerned about that. So, yeah, these next two episodes should be really good. And, I haven't heard if it got renewed yet, but I'm thinking it will be. And then hopefully they can get as good at actors for next time as well.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
This show's been a home run, and I mean, I don't want to jinx it, because I mean, but my guess the next episodes will be just as good as the rest of them have been. I'd be very surprised if they fell off in any way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And, it's funny because, you know, it's funny when it comes Emmy time, it'd be interesting to see if they both put their names in for best, you know, actor, or if like Woody Harrelson will try to, you know, go put himself in best supporting actor. Because I think if they go head to head, I think McConaughey would win.
Even though
Woody Harrelson's been excellent too, I just feel like McConaughey is just, his present day character is just so out there.
Oh, definitely.
I love the little the beer can stick figures he makes while he's talking.
Oh, it's fantastic! It's so good.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun. It's definitely been good, because I. Like you said, you know, Breaking Bad ends. You're always looking for that next great, like, kind of drama series.
Yep.
And I know for me, you know, Breaking Bad ended. I know Mad Men's on its way out. So I'm hoping if this can stick around, that would be great. Because, because after Mad Men ends, a lot of those great dramas are kind of, I'm kind of out. So do you watch The Walking Dead or no? I can't remember if you watched that one.
You know, once they got to the prison, I just lost interest. And okay. I haven't picked it up yet.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I will. I have it recorded. It's sitting on my DVR, so I might eventually pick it up when I got nothing left to watch.
Yeah, I think because I watched the first season, which I liked a lot, but I just never really picked back up on it. So I got the Netflix streaming now, so maybe I'll just sit down one day. Maybe if I'm not at work, you know, tomorrow, just on the next day, I'm just home all day, I could just power through another season or two and just see how I like it. But
yeah.
But other than that, yeah, most of my cable dramas, I mean, Homeland will be back, and I'm hoping that will kind of right itself a little bit. I'm hoping anyway.
Yeah. Do you watch The Following?
I do. I do watch that. Yes.
So I watched the first episode, and it was pretty mind blowing. Is it worth keeping? Should I keep on watching it?
For me, yeah, because we watch it. It's okay. It's pretty good. It's one of those shows that. It can get kind of goofy very quickly. You know, like when 24 got goofy with like the moles and things like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that. There is some spellbinding stuff, but it's kind of uneven. I mean, I enjoy it. We watch it every week, but it's one of those shows where you can, at times it can be groan worthy as far as some of the plot twists.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I enjoy, I know it gets a lot of haterade, so to speak, from the critics, but there's certain shows that, you know, you watch because you enjoy, and others you watch because they're really good. That's when I watch, just because I just kind of enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been watching a few episodes into the second season now. So yeah, but yeah, it's funny you brought that up because yeah, I've been watching that. I think we're caught up. But other than that, yeah, not too many other I think network dramas. I watch some here and there, but I'm always up for good ones that are coming out.
Yeah, me too. So hopefully HBO. I mean, we got Game of Thrones coming back.
Yes. So yeah.
Up for that, and hopefully, you know, HBO or Showtime or FX can. And guy, the Americans are coming back. I like that show.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't watched the premiere yet. I was on when that came back this week. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking for a new solid show that I can hunker down for the next couple years and watch.
Yeah, me too. I'm the same way. So, yeah, we will see what happens there. And then lastly, and it's kind of fitting, I guess, with if people are going to be kind of snowed in, if they have something, if they had something to stock their fridge up with, do you have any beer suggestions for them?
Well, recently I had a couple beers from the Maine Beer Company.
Okay.
And I do know that they do distribute to Maryland, so go to if you can get out before the snow, close to your local craft brew store. Any beer from Maine Beer Company is great, but they have an Indian or IPA called Lunch. It's really hard to get. If you do see it on your shelf, grab it up right away. It's not super expensive. But it's one of the better IPAs in the country. And then they also have another beer called Wheeze, which is a black IPA that's absolutely delicious. But they've got, you know, their traditional stouts and regular American ales that pretty much styles that all breweries do. But they do a great job at it. So if you see anything from them, definitely pick it up. They've got a nice matte finish, kind of really clean white label. So yeah, that would be my suggestion for the winter storm ahead.
Yes. Like you mentioned Game of Thrones, winter is coming. So.
Yeah, winter is coming.
yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. I can't wait. That's going to be
good.
Yeah,
me too. That's it's going to be great.
Yeah. Well, no, it's good to be back, man. I'm glad you're feeling better too.
Yeah, man. I
feel better. Yeah.
Well, have fun watching the Oscars and, we will do this soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for listening. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at @TheGDPodcast. Our email is thegdpodcast@gmail.com. For Mike Grant, I'm Joe Dighton. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.